Our Old Testament scripture selection is from Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. The voice of my beloved, look, he comes, leaping upon the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he stands behind our wall, gazing in at the windows, looking through the lattice. My beloved speaks and says to me, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. For now the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth its figs, and the vines are in blossom, and they give forth fragrance. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. The New Testament scripture selection is from Mark, chapter 7, verses 1 through 8. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes had come from Jerusalem, who had come from Jerusalem, gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups and pots and bronze kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and the scribes ask him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands? He said to them, Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. A story is told of a little girl who was asked to write an essay on birth. She went home and asked her mother how she had been born. And her mother, who was busy at the time, said, "The stork brought you, darling, and left you on the doorstep." Continuing her research, she asked her dad how he had been born. Being in the middle of something, her father similarly deflected the question by saying, "I was found at the bottom of the garden. The fairies brought me." So then the girl went and asked her grandmother how she had arrived. "Oh, I was picked from a gooseberry bush," said the grandma. Well, armed with this information, the girl wrote her essay. And when the teacher asked her later to read it aloud in front of the class, she stood up and began, "There has not been a natural birth in our family for 3 generations. Now, what I'm going to tell you next is a true story. It happened in the early 1960s in a local high school in Toms River, New Jersey, before the Supreme Court ruling that banned Bible reading in public schools. Back in those days, I know a number of you will remember this, you know, the school's opening exercises included a prayer, the Pledge of Allegiance, daily announcements, and a selection from the Bible. And in this case, it was read by a student over the PA system. And according to school tradition, it was up to the student to choose the Bible reading. You know, and students sat there sleepily in their homeroom classes at their desks, only half listening to the opening exercises drone on and on and on, until one particular morning. On that morning, one by one, the students in homeroom sat up and began paying very close attention to the words of the Bible reading from the venerable King James Version. "How beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O prince's daughter. The joints of thy thighs are like jewels. Thy navel is like a round goblet which wanteth not liquor. Thy belly is like a heap of wheat set about with lilies. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins. Thy neck is like a tower of ivory. Well, you can imagine the impact of those words on a school full of adolescents first thing in the morning. It was, to say the least, memorable. So memorable that the teachers were still telling the story decades later. But there's an epilogue. By order of the principal himself, the student reader was instantly sacked, despite his fervent protests that all he was doing was reading from the Bible. And from that day forward, until the Supreme Court ruling, the principal chose the Bible passages for the opening exercises. Dangerous stuff, those Bible verses. The Song of Songs might be the raciest book in the Bible. And for whatever reason, it only appears in the lectionary on rare occasions. So when it does appear, I like to preach from it. To generations of Christians, the Song of Solomon, or the Song of Songs, as it's sometimes called, has been a bit of an embarrassment. It's one of only two books in the Bible, the other one is Esther, that doesn't once directly mention God. And during the Middle Ages, Bible scholars went to elaborate lengths to interpret this book as highly symbolic. Some taught that this florid love poetry was really about the soul's relationship to God. Others, somewhat strangely, claimed it was about God's love for the Virgin Mary and she for God. If you think you're hearing lovers sighing to each other in a moonlight glade, then think again, say these Middle Ages scholars. When you hear the woman's voice crooning, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine." All of this is supposed to be secret code for an earnest and devout and thoroughly chaste piety. I think that sounds pretty far-fetched myself. What possible reason could the author have for hiding religious sentiment behind steamy love poetry? It's more faithful to take the Song of Solomon at face value. It is a joyous celebration of committed love in every aspect, including the physical, as a wonderful and perfect gift from God. Now, given the puritanical history and nature of our nation, especially the founding fathers and mothers, the Song of Solomon causes a lot of uneasy embarrassment among those of the Christian faith. And this has as much to do with the hang-ups of our society as with the book itself. Our society tends to understand human love in a binary way. Love is either idealized and spiritual, or it is sensual and physical, and never the twain shall meet. On the one hand, you have the lacy Valentine's hearts and bouquets of roses. And on the other is graphic content from the deepest, darkest corners of the internet. One extreme, according to our culture, is good, but the other is bad. And it seems there's no middle ground. And St. Paul had to struggle with that too, separating the flesh from the spirit. The Song of Solomon knows no separation between the physical and the spiritual. Love is strong as death, passion fierce as the grave, the poet writes. Its flashes are flashes of fire, a raging flame. The author sees no need to construct a wall between the spiritual and the physical. And to this divinely inspired poet, they are two sides of the same coin. There are three primary ways to interpret the Song of Solomon, and none of them are fully literal. The first says that the song gives expression to human love. Most American readers would not find the poetry to be explicitly sexual, though it has been interpreted that way. Look at this good angel coming up to me. She just brought me something. Thank you. Okay. Oh, thank you. I have one of those little things. I wore it at one point, but now I'm going to have to find them and put them up. So sorry about this. Whew. I've been doing too much PT this week. Whew. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Okay. Most American readers would not find the poetry to be explicitly sexual, though it has been interpreted that way. It is certainly erotic in one sense or another, and this is likely the original meaning of these songs when written. It is also the understanding of most modern interpreters. Secondly, a large number of Jewish and Christian commentators follow a semi-allegorical interpretation in which the detailed metaphysical love language conveys God's love for Israel, or Christ's love for the church, or for the individual, and vice versa. This, however, overlooks the greater likelihood that the song initially was intended to be a compilation of human love poetry. A third interpretation combines the best of both human love and divine love. It finds the love expressed through the two lovers to represent that of God for Israel and Christ for the church, as we mentioned earlier. But it also, and that's important to remember, it's our response to God. When Song of Solomon pops up on the lectionary, it can have the same effect as discovering a centerfold tucked into the pages of a theology textbook. We're just not really sure what to do with it. This poetry that is lurid and erotic, that finds itself almost exactly in the middle of Holy Scripture. Now, a lot of preachers usually pretend it's not even in the Bible. And yet, one of my favorite passages from this text are verses 11 and 12. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. If the weather's just right, this becomes a lovely addition to Easter morning, heralding the resurrection of Christ and the springtime renewal of the earth. Some find the Song of Solomon perplexing as to even why it is included in the biblical canon at all. Some insist it is simply an allegory of the relationship between God and Israel, between Christ and the church, but it always seems to be a relationship between God and Christ and us, individually and collectively. And while we don't really know what the author had in mind specifically, we do know that in these verses, we see the kind of intimacy that God intended for us to have with God and with one another from the beginning. A relationship where desire and commitment win over objectification and selfishness. And it's a relationship that we want to pursue and value and celebrate. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.